Another week in Blue Jays land and not a lot of news, but is that a sign of big things to come? Stay tuned and find out. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday, December 19th, and welcome to episode 225 of Buds and Blue Jays. It's your place for all things related to the Toronto Blue Jays. Jesse Burrell here. Jesse Tricio will be joining us a little bit later. He's out doing some Christmas shopping right now. Tis the season, I suppose. He'll be joining us midway through. It's been a relatively slow week in Blue Jays land, but we do have some content to talk about. Bo Bichette cut his hair. The Blue Jays have finalized their coaching staff. And we're going to pull out our wish list this year. Talk a little bit about the gifts Santa's going to leave us under the tree. We're going to hope we've been nice and not naughty this year and that Santa can give us some good things and all that in this episode. But a big task on hand. We decided we needed some help. So we called on a friend. He's a comedian. He's the host of the Walk Off podcast. He's a self-proclaimed disturber of shit. And most importantly, he's our friend, Scott Belford. Scott, welcome to the show.
Jesse, thank you so much. Long time coming. I know we've tried to make this happen a few times. I'm glad that the stars aligned here for us.
That's right. Well, it's December. We're into the cold part of the offseason here. Things have been kind of gone quiet since the Andrés Giménez trade. And obviously, this is a very big winter for the Toronto Blue Jays. We've talked about that already during the season and into the offseason so far. And Scott, just before we dive deep into the meat of the episode here, I want you to give us your take on one, how you think the Blue Jays offseason has gone so far, and two, whether or not at the end of the offseason, we're going to look back and be like, we nailed it.
Oh, I mean, if we're just going to look at the unfinished picture that is this offseason so far, it has not addressed the needs that this team has. So if you're just looking at what this organization wanted to do, they still have pretty much the entire list in front of them. Now, obviously,
yes,
the Andrés Giménez trade was an interesting one, and it might wind up being a sneaky good trade in the long run, but it is one of those moves that if you do not address the other areas of need, if you do not address the offense, if you go in for a third straight season with no cleanup hitter, if you do not do something about the top of that lineup, and the leadoff guy, no offense to George Springer, but he is just a shadow of himself in that number one hole. And I do not want to see him taking the most at bats on this team again this year. So obviously some big holes to fill. So if we're just talking what they've done right now, my man, not good enough.
Yeah, I said it last episode. I think if Andrés Giménez is the biggest move that the Blue Jays have made this offseason, then that's a tough look, right? Yeah. If this is your second or your third biggest move, then maybe you can talk into it. I get on edge because a lot of the Sportsnet guys, the Shai Davidi, the Ben Nicholson Smith, are kind of saying, don't be surprised if this is the biggest move that the Blue Jays make. And that makes me feel sick because that makes me feel like we're in for more of a repeat of what we did last season when we're hoping that the defense Isaiah Kiner-Falefa gave you or the 39-year-old slow bat speed Justin Turner can be a difference in this offense. And I'm getting very worried that we are headed down that same path, especially as a lot of the higher end free agents and trade targets now are slowly coming off of the board.
And that is one of the things that Ben Nicholson Smith mentioned when he joined us on the walk-off is he hasn't heard anything. So this isn't stuff these guys have heard. They're more just looking at the body of work of this front office and what they have done over the years. And they tend to look at last year, right? The whole offseason, we kept saying they're not done. They can't be done. This can't be the team. And then they really wound up in, for lack of a better way of putting it, running back 2023 without the adjustments that were needed, without any offensive augmentation, something that was very obvious the team needed. And yeah, it's a scary endeavor to think that they might do this again. One thing I will say, Jesse, is when are we going to see some panic out of these guys? Because, I mean, we all are well aware of Atkins speak and the way he presents himself and how frustrating it is for the fan base. And the same with Mark Shapiro, for that matter. And they've got this cool, calm, collected. We've got an evaluation of everything, and we're not gonna take a jump and take a risk. But their back's against the wall. Like, their jobs are literally on the line. So when are we going to see a little bit of get up and go from these guys, right? A little bit of urgency would sure be nice to see. And I don't want to see panic. And maybe they are doing things right. But I will say this. They have a track record of not getting what's done, not getting what they need done. So, yeah, I understand the fan base being trepidatious, and I understand everyone getting frustrated. And I do wonder if we're going to see, you know, how Alex Anthopoulos kind of had his back against the wall in 2015 and made some major plays. Are we going to see something like that at Atkins? I don't know, man. Sure hope so.
That's the thing, right? You really hope so. I've always related this as like a politician when he knows he's about to go out of term. You will do and you will say anything to try to keep your job, right? It doesn't, and that's what Alex Anthopoulos did.
It doesn't feel like they're doing that.
It doesn't feel like they're doing that, right? It almost feels like they're just going to put this together, whatever. They've had their 9 years in the office, and then they'll be like, ah, this Blue Jays team, it can just be someone else's problem. Let them deal with it. Let them clean up the mess. And, you know, that's not what you want to see. It almost feels like we've wasted these last 9 years. Like, we've almost wasted the whole Vlad, Biggio, Bichette era core we were promised, right? Like, getting no playoff wins out of this era has been really tough, and no real players have been developed properly either for these 9 years they've been through. It just hurts as a Blue Jays fan. And until we are shown otherwise, why would we believe that they're going to make this big splash, right? Like, is it going to be Max Kepler and then they're going to come through and try to convince us that Max Kepler is a guy, he's going to go back, he's going to have his best season yet, even though he was dreadful just last season, and then we're going to buy into it and we'll see and we'll hope and then just try to believe that? Like, I don't think that's going to happen. And I don't think many Blue Jays fans can deal with another offseason of that going on.
Yeah, it does really beg the question of what direction is this team headed in? Because I think, and I would guess that you agree here in that this is probably the most important offseason in a decade, maybe more, because it's really going to set up where this team goes. And I will say this, okay? I look at the moves that can be made with the money that is supposedly available, and I have a really hard time, Jesse, not justifying kickstarting a rebuild right now. And I hate rebuilds. I say this with venom, you know, like I say this frustrated. I say this a little bit in disbelief that this is where we're at right now in 2024, needing to discuss something, because you brought it up, right? Bo, Vladdy, Cavan, right? We were sold this core and they gave us zero moments, right? Mm-hmm. Zero moments. There's nothing to hang our hats on as fans. You look at what happened with Donaldson and Batista and Encarnacion, and you got the bat flip and you got Edwin hitting that walk-off winning home run in extra innings of the wild card. You have the Donaldson dash. You have two ALCSs that you can hang the banner. And I know they're not World Series and it's not the be all and end all, but at least we
better than the wild card something. Banners that we have there.
The wild card loss banners. Yeah,
that's right. Yeah. Right. Hey, we did get a Vladimir Guerrero Jr. Home Run Derby championship out of that. So if that's what you get for your 9 years of work, I suppose so. But I'm glad you brought that up, Scott, because I have been saying for years, I felt like the core of the Blue Jays, Bo Bichette was under contract till the end of the next season, so 2026 free agency. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. was going to be a free agent at the same time. Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro's contract also end at the same time. I believe the way they were building their team, and remember, before Jose Barrios signed a contract, they weren't putting anybody on the books past that 2026 season. So I had always felt like this was the plan for the Blue Jays, right? Go in, run with this core until 2026, then start the rebuild, and go off and let somebody else come in and take over in this next term. And with the moves they've made these last, you know, few off seasons, like Gausman's under contract for one more year, and I guess Jimenez is under contract now for a while, I still don't feel like they've pivoted from that and they can still have the option to tear things down and start the total rebuild. In fact, as we start looking into the season here, there is a very realistic situation where the Blue Jays struggle again, right? We find ourselves in last place at the trade deadline. If you know you're not going to sign Bo Bichette, or you know you're not going to sign Vladimir Guerrero Jr., why not just accelerate the rebuild, right? And I feel like the Blue Jays are, they're not trying to close that door completely. They're trying to leave that door open just a crack, so they have that avenue to go if things go south this year.
My only problem with that plan of attack from them is it really does signal that maybe we're stuck with Atkins and Shapiro for this rebuild, which how in the hell
can
Rogers justify that? I really can't even understand how these two still have jobs right now after this 2024 season. That should have been it. We're playing baseball. They have three strikes already, Jesse. Like, these guys should be out. And I look at 2021 and I lament what happened there, because if you were to have asked me after that 2021 season, told me that this is where this team would be at 3 years later, I would have said no way. I would have been like, there's no way that this is a team coming off a dead last AL East division finish that is got its back against the wall and looking at rebuilding, have no extension signed, have no core to speak of at this point outside of Vladdy and Bo, who without having them locked up are gone. Like, there's no way an extension happens for Vladdy, in my opinion. I know that this is, I'm probably jumping the gun a little bit. I know that this is one of the topics, but man, it makes no sense for him to sign now. And I mean, even if he gets offered $500 million, half a billion, if I'm Vladdy's camp, I'm still turning it down.
Because absolutely.
Just happened to Juan Soto, right? There is going to be competition in this market for a 26-year-old. And as long as he somewhat repeats what he did last year, he doesn't even need to be as good. But let's say he hits a few more bombs and hits 280 and an OPS around 900. The kid is going to get $500,000 or $500 million from somebody. He is.
Yep, I agree. And if you're the Blue Jays, you run the risk of, what if Steve Cohen is just like, I'm getting Vladimir Guerrero Jr., it doesn't matter. You're screwed. You are out of luck. He'll be playing in the Big Apple, and there's nothing you can do about it, and you have nothing to show for it. Like, incredibly risky for the Toronto Blue Jays. And then if you try to call Steve Cohen's bluff and you end up having to pay him $600, $700 million, like, the Blue Jays are a very value-organized team. They're not going to want to do that, right? Mm-hmm. So I see what you mean, and it feels very bleak for the future of the Toronto Blue Jays here. And I'm glad we're on the same page here, because it's tough to see how things can get clearer going on from here. Scott, I want to move a little
bit. That,
oh, go ahead.
With all of that said, Jesse, I want to be wrong. I want to be wrong so bad. I want to, in July, look at where the Blue Jays are at and say, you know what? Everything I said about Ross Atkins was wrong. It was misguided. I didn't understand what he was doing and the process. I should have just believed in it right from the beginning. Maybe pitching and defense is the way. Maybe they are unbeatable when they are constantly putting up outs and Ks and getting guys winning 3-2 games, right? It would be beautiful, because I don't give a shit what kind of team this is if they win. I'm not a fan of players. I'm a fan of the Blue Jays. Don't get me wrong. I love Vladdy. I love Bo. I'd love to have them on this team long term. But if there is another way to win outside of them, give me that. I'm fine with that, right?
I'm absolutely with you, my guy. I'll be the first to sign the Ross Atkins apology letter if it does come to form and we build a winner here and we get something happening. But of course, chances seem slim. However, I do have this thought too, before we move on, that like, we've gone into off seasons hyped about this Toronto Blue Jays team in the past, right? Remember the year after they made the the Jose Reyes, the Josh Johnson trade? Like, people had the Blue Jays as World Series favorites that year. There was
2012, baby. R.A. Dickey comes in. Josh Johnson. Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember screaming. I hadn't been more hyped for a spring training than that 2012 season, just for us to start the season, I think, 0-7 that year, and we came dead last in the division again. But maybe this is the time where vibes don't feel that good, and we can come on in, and who knows? Maybe we can be this year's Detroit Tigers, win every single game in September, and get in there. I doubt it, but who knows? You never know, right? Maybe that's
on the there's case. A New York Mets every year, dude.
That's right.
There's a New York Mets every year. Yeah, why can't it be us?
All right. Well, with that being said, Scott, let's get into some of the rumors that the Blue Jays are going to go through. And I don't want to spend too much time on this because I don't like talking about rumors unless they're actually stuff that's coming through. But we're Blue Jays fans. We want to dream about what could be. So I have three names that have come up here that that have been talked about as rumors for the Toronto Blue Jays. And I just want to get your perspective on all three of them. And the first one was Nick Pivetta, Canadian native. We've seen him pitch in Boston for years. He's been around for quite a while. Then there is Josh Naylor from Cleveland. There's been some buzz about maybe the Blue Jays going through him. And then I want to get your thoughts real quick on the Corbin Burnes, Teoscar Hernandez, and Anthony Santander. What do we do with that group? Are any of them going to become Blue Jays? And what do you buy from that?
So Nick Pivetta makes all sorts of sense for this team. The one thing that we should all keep our in mind anyways is that he does have a qualifying offer attached to him. So there is draft pick compensation that would be included in that. So you would lose, I think it's a fourth rounder. I'd need to like double check. Maybe it's a second. But either way, you're losing a pick with Pivetta, which I think will push his signing into January. My guess is that with Roky Sasaki available, no one wants to jump the gun on some of these guys with qualifying offers attached until he's off the board. So I think the pitching market for guys who have qualifying offers is going to be a little bit of a slow play. I do like the idea of this starting rotation having a lefty in it, which it doesn't currently have after losing Yusei Kikuchi. So Pivetta does fit in there.
Pivetta's a righty, isn't he? I'm pretty sure he's a righty.
Oh, is he a righty? Oh, yeah. My goodness. I'm sorry. Well, then I take that back.
But I like the point. We do need a lefty in there. I agree.
We do need a lefty. Yeah. Which this is where I think Pivetta is being tied to the Jays because everyone is being tied to the Jays. And as soon as there's that little maple leaf next to their nationality, of course, people are going to put two and two together and be like, hey, the Canadian will go to Canada. There won't be that big obstacle of getting a guy to come north if he's from the north, which, you know, rings true, has some truth to it.
Yeah, I agree. I'm not taking much to it at all. I do like the stuff from Nick Pivetta. Like, he's been a sabermetric darling. The stuff plus has always looked so good. But he's never had an ERA below 4 in his major league career ever. So it's like, how much of a difference maker can this guy really be, right? So we will see. We'll talk about that when it happens. Teoscar, Santander, and Corbin Burnes. Scale of 1 to 10. Are any of them going to be Blue Jays this winter?
No.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I mean, honestly, I want Anthony Santander bad. I think that having a switch hitter in this toolbox for John Schneider would be a very valuable commodity to have, especially with a guy who has the kind of power that Anthony Santander has. This is one thing that we talked about this already, right? Is that power has been lacking for 2 years on this team, pretty much since they moved Teoscar to begin with. So yeah, bringing him back, not a bad idea. I think I prefer Santander a little bit just because of the switch hitting aspect, but I'll take either of them. I don't think it's likely because it's going to cost, you know, 3 to 5 years, $60 to $100 million, depending on the guy. Santander is a little bit younger, so he probably wants a 5-year deal. I don't know, man. I do. I know you mentioned Josh Naylor, and that is an interesting one, which would obviously require the team to move Vladdy to third part time anyways to get Naylor as many reps as possible. I'm sure Naylor would also take substantial DH at bats.
Fill the Spencer Horowitz role.
It is interesting that they've already made a deal with Cleveland. So going back to the well, and I mean, we're well aware of how this organization is so connected with Cleveland, being that they came from there. I think that he does fit. One thing about Josh Naylor coming is it does worry me a little that they've replaced Bo with Jimenez and then bring in Naylor and they're kind of replacing Vladdy with him. And it's like, we're losing our guys and probably for nothing unless this team sucks, in which case they'll probably move them at the deadline. Maybe even before the deadline. I mean, if they really suck, we could see a sell-off as soon as June.
It's interesting, and I hope it doesn't the case, but we are leaving ourselves open for that situation. Before we get Jesse in here, before we go, Scott, if we're not signing those players, who are we going to sign? Do you have a player or a name or a guy? Like, who's the next free agent? Take a stab at the name of who's going to be the Blue Jays' next signing.
Oh, that is a really good question. I am starting to think that if they fill in some holes, Jesse, that it's going to be on the trade market. And I could be off on that. But if you look at the landscape around Major League Baseball right now, there has not been a free agent signing since Nathan Eovaldi going back to the Rangers. We're at almost 2 weeks now, and we've seen multiple trades from multiple organizations, half a dozen players or more moved around through trade. And I think that that's probably going to continue. I do think that the market is incredibly high right now on free agents, and that you're going to need to pay maximum dollars and maximum years to get the guy you're after. And that I think that a lot of organizations are exploring what they can do on the open market. So the one guy that really kind of stood out to me, and it was just stated today that Cincinnati is going to put him out on the trade market, is Spencer Steer. Mm-hmm. And this is the guy who plays.
He screams Ross Atkins, doesn't he? Like his type of player.
God, this is a Ross Atkins wet dream. Absolutely. Yeah. Plays first, plays third, plays left field, right? Versatility. I think he would be a good fit with the Jays. Another thing, though, to think about with this one is that it's going to be expensive. This is a guy who is still a year away from even arbitration. So he's got years of control. He's cheap. He's making $800,000 this year. But if there's ever going to be a guy to move some prospect capital for, these are the type of moves you got to look at. And I think that Spencer Steer fits quite nicely with what the Blue Jays are doing. And it does give them a little bit of flexibility that if they can sign Vladdy, their infield's pretty well set up, right? You'd have Steer at third. You'd have Jimenez at short. We've got, 15 second basemen on our roster right now?
Sure.
So second base is looked after. You got Vladdy and an extension at first. I mean, I like it, but I'm really getting delusional here, Jesse, and dreaming on a non-rebuild. So
the offseason will do that here. Let's get Jesse in here, who is joining us now. Jesse, glad to have you. Good to hear. Jesse, while we're on the topic, just give me a name. Who's the next name the Blue Jays are going to sign here?
Well, everyone's thinking about like the Corbin Burns rumors and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I definitely don't think – I really feel like now with what we're hearing yesterday too, it's probably going to be Nick Pivetta. But realistically, like Scott was saying, it's definitely going to be a trade, knowing how this front office is and like the freaking melting pot of second basements we have.
Okay. Makes a lot of sense. I agree with that. Guys, I think I've been giving this some thought, and here's what I think is going to happen. The Blue Jays are going to sign one guy, like a starter. I kind of hope it's Sean Manaea, but we will see where the Blue Jays go. It's going to be like that. And then what I think the Blue Jays are going to do is we're just going to throw out minor league deals at a shit ton of relievers who throw 95 plus, who maybe walk the world and hope you get like the 80th percentile outcome. Or we're going to sign a bunch of minor league deals to guys that have power potential. So you're not going to want to hear this. These names are ugly, but like Miguel Sano, Joey Gallo, dare I say Daniel Vogelbach again, right? It's going to be like these type of players that the Blue Jays are going to throw things at and try to get their 80th percentile outcome and just hope to God it hits.
Well, if that's the case, then do you boys think that we could possibly see Aroldis Martinez break with this team then?
I think they should. I don't know if the Blue Jays are going to do it. Like I love the idea of Aroldis Martinez and a Will Wagner platoon. Right, I think that would make a lot of sense, but I don't know if the Blue Jays are going to go that route.
Well, I definitely would love to see it, but realistically, if you want him at third, it's not the greatest. Second is now taken by Jimenez. We're not going to put a rookie as a DH because I feel like that would more stunt his growth, where he's not getting the like experience and all that. And why would we bring him up if we're going to like just only have him as a DH? And so I don't feel like that'd be the benefit for him as like moving forward.
Yeah, we'll see how he looks in spring. And I think if he's good in spring, then we'll send him down to Buffalo to start the season and then let him perform there. And hey, they deemed him worth a call up in June of last year. Maybe he's not down there long. And if he hits, he hits. It won't be a problem. The team needs power. And I don't think anyone besides Vlad has as much power in the system than Aroldis Martinez. So it should in theory fit. But again, I'm not convinced the Blue Jays love Orelvis Martinez as much as we might.
No, I definitely agree on that. I feel like, well, you said it before, like if he didn't get suspended, I feel like he would be already on a second franchise.
Probably. The PEDs of it all does suck, right? Because it does give that little sliver of doubt of, hey, was he legit? Obviously, I truly believe that this is a guy who's been in the system for almost 4 years now. I mean, he hit 30 bombs in Double A as a 20-year-old. I know he hit like 185 that year, but he still showed a ton of power. I don't think he was juicing at the time. I know that's not exactly what he was doing. I know that I'm well aware that it was a fertility drug, but it was cheating nonetheless. It's on the no-go list. And I do think he has to kind of prove himself again, but I truly believe that it wasn't steroid, you know, it wasn't the PEDs that gave him the power he had.
Right. Jesse, can I just get you to unplug your mic and plug it back in? We're just getting some feedback here. So
yeah, no worries.
Do that and then we'll go from there. Some minor moves the Blue Jays have made as I want to move across the program here. Two minor moves. First one, we've signed catcher Ally Sanchez to a minor league deal. Guy's never hit, but he does have a good defensive reputation. And we've also signed left-handed pitcher Eric Lauer to a minor league deal. And guys, I just want to run through quickly our catching depth chart and then our left-handed reliever depth chart. And for catchers right now, Alejandro Kirk is our starting catcher. Next is Tyler Heineman, then Ally Sanchez and Phil Clark. So leaves you more to be desired. And then on the left-handed reliever side, Brendan Little is our number one lefty reliever. And unless you believe in Brandon Isard or Easton Lucas, or if you think like Adam Macko or Trenton Wallace can make a spot appearance as a lefty, Eric Lauer is probably our third best left-handed reliever, which is where Brendan Little was last year and became one of the best ones going forward. So how do we fix this spot, guys? Do you believe we need to, first of all, or what's next for the Blue Jays catching and or left-handed relieving situation?
Personally, I think they need to go out and get a backup catcher. They need a guy who can play 60 games. I mean, as it is, Alejandro Kirk broke his all-time career record with 89 starts last year. I think he's going to blow by that this year. And as much as I love the magic man, Tyler Heineman, I don't think he's the guy you want in that position. Phil Clark is an interesting prospect, a guy that was out of Vanderbilt. They drafted him the same year as Austin Martin, I think in the fifth round. Very good defensive catcher, and he is a guy who can run into the odd ball here and there. But this is a guy also that's pretty new to AAA. He got called up there, I think it was May or June last year. 25 years old, going on 26, and it's one of those scenarios where you're like, do you want to put a kid in this situation in a year that your front office is giving lip service that you want to contend? I don't think so, which is what, same thing with the signing they just had, right? Like, good minor league depth, good defensively, not something you want long term, though. So I think they need to go out and get a catcher. And as for left-handed relievers, absolutely, they have to do something. They absolutely have to. And listen, they do have a kid in Mason Fluharty who is actually pretty decent.
Jesse's mentioned him a lot. He's a big Fluharty fan. Yeah.
Good little lefty. Really like him. All right. 22 years old. Same sort of thing. Is that, do you want to throw this kid to the wolves? Do you believe enough in him to put him in a situation where the whole team's back's against the wall and most of these guys are either walking in free agency or probably getting stripped away if it winds up being a rebuild? I don't know, man. I guess the answer is just go sign a guy. Like,
right? But Jesse, what are your takes on the catching situation and the left-handed reliever situation?
Oh, definitely. I'm definitely thinking realistically, we do have some prospects, but they're not marquee prospects. I feel like the market is very thin for catchers, so I'm really not sure. But with the rumors with the Guardians, are we going to do a Naylor package and bring say a Bo Naylor to be that number one and may move on from Alejandro Kirk, even though he was showed that he could be the number one? Or are we going to even try to find someone similar to Austin Hedges on a different organization, or look at even Pittsburgh with some of their their cluster of catchers, like Bart or Henry Davis, Davis and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, Christian Vasquez is even probably out there and available. It's just like there. It sure is not sexy stuff out there, guys. Like it really. I get why they're trepidatious to jump into the free agent market when it's going to be very marginal how much better of a guy you get, and you're probably paying double what you should, right? Like, no, you know, I love Danny Jansen, but I mean, him and Gary Sanchez both got $8 million each on the open market to be second, to play second fiddle. Right. Like, don't get me wrong. I think Jano's going to get plenty of opportunity in Tampa. And I think that was a shrewd little move by the Rays. But man, that's a pretty hefty price tag for a guy who's going to play 70 games.
I've always said the Blue Jays are likely going to fill that backup catching spot with a guy who plays good defense and hits left-handed. So if you just search the free agents for left-handed catchers who play good defense, you get Yasmani Grandal and Reese McGuire. So those are my names for who it's going to be. I think it's going to be one of those two who end up coming
hilarious
late.
Hilarious if it's Reese McGuire. Oh,
wouldn't
my
it
God.
Be?
Just keep away from Dollar Tree.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. Maybe it burned down or got torn up in the hurricane that ripped through. Who knows? We'll go from that. All right, guys, let's get into the topic of the episode, into the back half here. And guys, and it's the holiday season. A lot of things. It's a great time of year to be hopeful, to be wishful, to dream on some things. You know, it's a spirit of giving. Everything feels good. There's good food going around. Everything's fantastic. So I thought, guys, we could come up together with a list here of baseball themed items or Blue Jays themed items we want Santa to give us under the tree this year. Now, we could take this in any way possible. We could say, like, we could want a dream free agent here. We want changes to the Rogers Center. I have said to Scott before the show, but if you wanted every single streetcar in Toronto to be Blue Jays theme and that's your wish, then so be it. We can wish for that. I've come up with a bunch, and Scott and Jesse, I believe you guys have a few here as well. And I think let's dive right into it. I guess we'll let Scott, you're the guest. You can go first. But what is the first gift you would like to see Santa deliver for the Blue Jays this winter?
Can Santa deliver Ross Atkins and Mark Shapiro their letter of resignation?
Mm.
Be like, it's all ready to go here, boys. Just sign it, you know? Or even better, can Santa shit can them? And can we get an actual front office in here that can build a team? Because they are at 9 years and have only regressed from their peak. So I would love under the tree a new front office. I know that's not happening. My second high in the pie in the sky wish would be Corbin Burnes, who, oh my God, that would be just an incredible, incredible signing. It's never going to happen. I mean, I think... I'm actually just going to pull it up here, but back in, I think it was August. It was August. ESPN.com did an interview with Corbin Burnes, right? And this is what Corbin Burnes said back in August. He goes, I'm going to have to do a lot of research this offseason on farm systems, young guys coming up, groups of core guys that are on a team, Burnes said. Where does it look like teams are going to be competitive? Where are teams just looking to spend some money to make the fan base happy? Whatever it might be, I have research to do. That pretty much sounds like he's speaking specifically about the negatives of the Blue Jays. I know it's not. But that's my God, like. If Corbin Burnes is making a checklist, we fail miserably on his checklist. So,
and whose fault is that, Scott?
Yeah. The front office that I want replaced.
Exactly. 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 So I agree with you. Good gift. I think a lot of Blue Jays fans would be quite happy with that. Jesse, I'm sure you agree with that as well. But go ahead, give us yours. What would you like to throw under the quote unquote Christmas tree this season?
Well, Scott took mine. So
I think he took a lot. I think a lot of Blue Jays fans want.
I think the ultimate gift that any Blue Jay fan wants to see is that World Series ring under their tree. But
yeah,
sure.
Is it my Christmas wish? I'll keep it there until it happens.
It's a good thing to wish for every year. That's my equivalent of like the 5-year-old child asking for a pony every Christmas. And you know, if you just keep asking for a pony, maybe eventually you get it. And I think us as Blue Jays fans, if we keep asking for that World Series title, maybe hopefully one day we will get it. I love the dream, Jesse.
I know you boys are young. Were you
the last one we had in 93? I was too young really to enjoy it like how we would enjoy it now. But I definitely want that experience and even have my daughter there to experience it too, like I did.
And I was born in 93, so I was born in February of 93. The Jays obviously won the World Series in October of 93. So I can't even say the Blue Jays haven't won a World Series in my lifetime because that's not technically true. But boy,
you were a potato still. Yeah,
exactly. So we will see. Jesse, I am with you. I would really, really like that one. I'm going to go with my first one off the Christmas list here, guys. And I just want somebody to find a way to take George Springer off of our hands this year, whether that means we have to ship out some money or whatever it may be. But I want to let Addison Barger get a run in right field, see what he can do, maybe even throw like Nathan Lucas, Jonathan Class A in there, whatever our options are in right field. Find a way to get off of that contract, because I don't care what the Blue Jays are saying about how they think George Springer is going to be better. I don't see it. The speed is nice. The base running is nice. I get it. But I think I've had enough with George Springer, and I'm not convinced at all that he's going to be able to come back and be this high impact player he once was. And I think if we can find a way to get that off of our roster, that'd be a very nice treat for us as Blue Jays fans.
Hear, hear.
Yeah. Perfect. Glad we're all in agreement here on that one. Let's rapid fire through these because I've got a few more I want to get to. Scott, hit us with your next one.
Okay, so this is just me wanting merch, basically, but...
Do it. Let's hear it. What's on your wish list?
I love those old school starter bomber jackets they had from the 90s with the big, like, huge World Series crest on the back, right? And, like, it's a gaudy-looking jacket, but dear Lord, give it to me. I would love that so much, man. I would love that.
Jesse, I know you love some good Blue Jays merch. You don't have one like that, eh? One of those old school World Series merch items?
Unfortunately not, but I do got some good old school stuff, though, too.
Mm-hmm. I bet. So if anyone out there has Scott on their Blue Jays podcast Secret Santa list, you know exactly what to get him.
That's right.
I love that. Jesse, before I get your next one, do you have a dream Blue Jays merch item that you'd love to get?
For me, like, my all-time favorite player was like just something of either Joe Carter or even Pat Borders or even John Olerud's helmet, like that type of memorabilia, like anything for those three. It's like my ultimate dream.
I love that. So for that same podcaster who got Scott, add Teresa's helmet onto the list of gifts there as well. All right,
over
Jesse,
shoulder here. Johnny O, Mr. Olerud. I love that. I love that helmet reference. Yes, please. Put it under my tree too.
I even have one of the rare cards where it's before he had to wear that helmet, his rookie card.
Wow.
Really? Nice.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen that. I want to see that. Rip that out next time you're on the show. I think we want to see that. That'd be great.
Oh, definitely. I'll dig through all the merch to find it.
That'd be great. Thank you. All right, Jesse, go ahead with your next item that you want to see under the tree this year.
My dream is for the front office to one fix. It's a two-part. Fix our farm system to be in that elite so we can build, like, once our players age out or move on, we have their second coming, kind of like how the Dodgers have, like, all these pitchers coming out, like the Bobby Millers and all that. For an underground city of MLB ready to actually perform and not be 4A players, or to extend our big names and build the dynasty like they really promised to us to.
Dynasty. We got to win a playoff game first before we can even make a dynasty. But I understand the sentiment here. It is very important that, like, when the Blue Jays front office took over, they said they wanted to be like the Dodgers, build your core and then have waves of prospects coming through all the time. I don't know about you, but getting a season and a half of good Alek Manoah being really your only impact piece coming down from the farm in that time just isn't going to cut it. I'm sorry. So I agree. That needs to be better. And Scott and I talked before you got here, Jesse, that I don't think we think that this front office is going to be the one to do that. So I think that goes hand in hand with giving Shapiro and Atkins their walking papers.
Yeah, definitely. It's been painful. And like, I wish we never got rid of Double A.
You're not alone.
You're not alone on that. Yes. The only guy to get the Blue Jays and AL East championship since what, 1993, and we can him? Seems tough. Tough luck for this team. All right.
The worst part is I bought in, boys. I honestly did. Like, I really thought Shapiro and Atkins were on the right track after 2021 and that very shrewd move they made in bringing in Marcus Semien on a one-year deal and the season they got out of him. The fact that George Springer was so good in that first year, even though he only played like 78 games, I was just like, we have so much potential. They lost, like, won 91 games and lost out right at the very last game of the season. And I honestly, I was kind of saying this to Jesse before you joined us, Jesse, is had you told me in 2021 this is where we would be 3 years later, I wouldn't have even believed you. I would have been like, there's no way they could have screwed this up this bad. How? And then I look back and I'm like, you run back 2023? You don't run back 2021? Are we freaking losing our minds here? Like, I don't even understand it. It's just like the weird way Ross Atkins speaks about power. It just really, in my opinion, goes to show you how big of an ego this front office has, right? They cannot accept when they're wrong. They always have to be the smartest fucking guys in the room. Sorry, pardon my language. They always need to be shrewd beyond belief. Whereas, like, sometimes you just put the round peg in the round hole, right? You don't need some sort of magic trick where people are like, whoa, can you believe they pulled this off? It's like, yeah, bullpens can be built in a day on a bunch of minor league deals and you cross your fingers, something works out. But you know what also works really well? Going out and getting an established guy with pedigree, like a Jeff Hoffman, right? Like going out and getting an actual closer who's done it. You know what works for driving in runs? Power. Home runs. Stop GM speaking to us fans like you are and just fill some of these holes. It doesn't always have to be in a way that you don't need to money ball everything, right? I'm getting all worked up here, boys. Sorry.
That's okay. but we've had sentiment, like we said the same things on our show too. I think part of the reason why they retendered Eric Swanson, even though he wasn't really that great last year, is because they traded for him. They made a bet on Eric Swanson. They don't want to give up on that. That's also part of the reason I do not think Teoscar Hernandez is coming back 100%. Because they traded him away. They decided, no, we don't think he's going to be good enough. And that's like the type of moves. Keegan Matheson told us this once, and he said, the Blue Jays would rather do the thing that makes them look smart and not necessarily be a good baseball team than do the simple thing, like you said, put the square ball in the square hole, right? Like, and like the whole thing with in Keegan's book, when he wrote the Shohei Ohtani chapter, he was telling us about this. Like the Blue Jays were like, no, don't say that because it hurts their egos. They're embarrassed by this, that they didn't get Shohei Ohtani. And we're going off on a little bit of a tangent here, but I agree. And I think that's been the biggest problem is like, they don't want to admit when they're wrong and they can't take the heat when people accuse them of stuff. And I think that's been the big issue.
If you're not going to learn, if you're not going to learn from your mistakes, right? Like that's what this all comes down to. And I don't expect any front office to be perfect. I don't expect any person to be perfect, any player. But what I do hope is that when you make a mistake, you learn from it. And just haven't seen that.
All right. Go ahead, Jesse. What's your take?
I was just saying, like when he closed in that press conference saying power's a low hanging fruit, then where is it? Like, I'm sorry, like, if it's really that easy, why is it not here? Oh, it's because we actually have to pay for it and not just look, scrape the bottom of the barrel to find like a one and done type of power season.
Yeah, maybe Ross Atkins just doesn't eat fruit and that's what happens here, you know? Maybe that's why we haven't grabbed any power off the fruit tree. But either way, I don't know. Getting back on track to some things I want to see here as we run towards the last quarter of the episode here. The one thing I want Santa to deliver under the tree, I went George Springer last time. I want to go back to Kevin Gausman. And please, can Santa bring back those magical splitter powers again? Can we get those strikeout numbers coming back from Kevin Gausman? Can he get that fastball velocity ticking up again? I noticed late last year his arm slot actually dropped a little bit, which is something you usually see from guys who are have shoulder injuries, which he went through in spring training and was never completely fully healthy. So if he can be completely healthy, get that movement back on the splitter and can pound that fastball at the top of the zone, and we get anything close to the Kevin Gausman we've got the few years before this, I think that would be fantastic and would go a long way to the strength of the Toronto Blue Jays. So please, Baseball Santa, give us Kevin Gausman's splitter back. That'd be great. Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, this starting rotation, I sure hope it holds together, because it has been our strength over the last few years. And I feel like we're really betting on some stuff here if this team is going to be competitive at all. And I mean, Jesse, you just touched on it. Kevin Gausman has to be 2023 Kevin Gausman for this team to even be competitive. We need Jose Berríos to continue to be the workhorse that he has been throughout his career and give us that 3.5 ERA, 190 innings that everyone has become adjusted and used to, right? We need Chris Bassitt to not take a step back from last year, because he already took one back from his first year with the Jays. Mm-hmm. And we also need Bowden Francis to be who he was in the last half of last year. That's a lot to bet on here, right? Like, that's a lot. And this is, we're still only, I think, Y-Rod, like Yariel Rodriguez, we need him in the bullpen. As insane as that sounds, which is why we need to go out and get another starter like a Pivetta, because the only way that we're going to bolster this pen is putting some guys in there who can get it done and who has the repertoire to be a back-end guy, which does match up nicely with Yariel Rodriguez, a high strikeout guy, a guy who always pitches really well in the first inning or two. Maybe the bullpen is his forte and you can put him back there and get multiple innings out of him. Have a guy that's ready to ramp back up. Kind of like remember how valuable Ross Stripling was for this team?
Yep. Saved our season that year.
Saved our season. And that's what we need. We need a guy in the bullpen who can give us some length, be reliable, and who has starting experience where he can ramp back up and be put into that lineup. Because, and don't get me wrong, okay, I think Alek Manoah isn't washed. I do think that there is a possibility he's still a decent little pitcher. We're probably not going to see anything out of him until July with his injury. Then you start to get further down the depth chain. And I do like Jake Bloss, who, of course, they got at the trade deadline for Yusei Kikuchi. But this is still a 23-year-old kid with not exceptional velo. Yes.
And didn't pitch well with the Blue Jays when he got here last year. Like, let's not forget that.
He didn't. And one thing to remember, too, look up how many innings he has in minor league baseball. Not very many. He started in high A last year and made all three jumps all the way to the majors. So, of course, the kid hit a wall. And would I like to see Jake Bloss developed a little bit more before we put him into a situation where maybe we blow out his confidence? That's the last thing you want with some of these pitching prospects, right? Is to push the developmental side of things an extra year because you put them in situations they had no business being in.
The elephant in the room with this Toronto Blue Jays team that we don't talk about enough with how bad their bullpen is and how bad they need power is their starting pitching is projected to be bottom five in all of baseball.
It is.
I think the Blue Jays are trying to hide that by throwing, we'll just have the best infield defense. We'll win a third straight team gold glove. That'll help our pitching. Well, if your pitchers walk guys and give up home runs, there's no defense for that. And I think that's where we're really going to be in trouble. So, Jesse, quick thought on that before we get to our last segment here.
No, it's exactly with what I'm worried about with all these like young pitchers are coming out, other than them all blowing their elbows out. It's like, if we're rushing them, like what will their confidence be in? Like,
right.
That's my biggest fear. It's like, if they get shelled, are they going to regress and then become like what Ricky Romero was back, like when he's had those great few years as a Blue Jay. Then he had one bad year and just never, like, then eventually was released in 2015. Or even, like, how Drew Hutchinson, like, they had those good few start years, then they started getting shut and couldn't fix it because they were so rushed to coming up in our system.
That's opening day starter Drew Hutchinson, might I add. For the
and Ricky Romero.
Yes, yeah. That's true. But even think Alec Manoa. I mean, he's had his best. He was the swagger guy. He was three punchies in the All-Star game type guy. Mm-hmm. You know, he's starting fights, calling out Garrett Cole to walk past the Audi sign. Loses his confidence. He's not the same guy. And, you know, there is definitely something to that. And it's the argument of, does playing well give you confidence, or does having confidence lead you to play well? And that's the decision. You know, that's the age-old debate, I suppose, that we have there. Gentlemen, did anyone want to give out their last wish before we get onto our last segment I want to throw here in this episode?
Oh, I don't think I have another one.
Okay, I had a few we wanted to get to. Run through them quick. One of them was, like, I just want a good second half run from Alec Manoa, Ricky Tiedemann. That was good. We've talked about a bunch of the other ones. I want the Blue Jays to be a better base running team. StatCast just came out with a bunch of their base running issues, and don't look, it's not good. Our best base runners this year were Stuart Baroa and Jonathan Class A, who had less than 100 at-bats combined for the Blue Jays.
Worst team. Base runner, Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Yes.
In fact, he ranked the worst base runner in baseball.
Alejandro Kirk was a better base runner than Vladimir Guerrero Jr. last year. So
Alejandro Kirk doesn't have the balls to blow through a stop sign like Vladdy does.
Nobody right. His triples right. Blow down the trap.
That's right. Yeah. A running joke, Scott, is Alejandro Kirk hits a triple and then 3 weeks later the trap gets destroyed. That can't be an accident, but running joke we have here. Between that and then also, like, I want the Rogers Center. I want there to be a good coffee shop at the Rogers Center. We used to have a Tim Hortons, and that wasn't even good, but at least it was something. Now, like, you can barely get a cup of coffee at the Rogers Center, which annoys me. And I also want them to bring back our social spaces. Like, let us stand in the flight deck, right? I hate that it's reserved for private functions on a random Wednesday night in September. Like, let us fans have those spaces. They are great. They are fun, right? Let us be there. And that was it. Those were all the Christmas lists I wanted to see this year.
I couldn't agree more with the social spaces. It was frustrating how corporatized the Rogers Center became this year. And it's only going to get worse. I mean,
it is.
That's what happens when you're owned by a major corporation.
And burn the red jerseys. Okay. All right. So let's get to our last segment here. And this is just simple.
Get rid of War from Dome.
Yeah, we don't win on Wednesday afternoon games either, which that's got to change this year. And Work for Dome was the stupidest thing I've ever heard from promotion. But anyways, that's beside the point. We'll have some new fun ones this year, I'm sure. This last one is simply, we just have 5 questions for Scott. And Jesse, if you have any others you want to throw for Scott, or hell, you can answer these questions too. We'll be 5 questions for Scott or Jesse. And we can just do a simple yes or no and maybe a quick point. But I want to get through the 5 of these with about 5 minutes left to go in the episode. Are you boys ready?
Sounds good.
Let's do it.
All right. First question, a simple yes or no. Will we sign Vladimir Guerrero Jr. to a contract extension before opening day next year?
No.
Yeah.
No.
You already touched on it, Scott. Yeah. And that's
3. Hope I'm wrong. Hope I'm wrong. Hope I'm wrong.
We will see. The saving grace for this, though, is that the Blue Jays and Vlad do need to go to arbitration again. So they will at least be discussing salaries and terms. And I'm sure at some point what it'll take to get a contract extension done will come up. But we're grasping at straws for this one here. Probably not going to happen. All right. My second question, guys, who leads the Blue Jays in at-bats from the third base position this year?
Oh, God. Ernie Clement?
Probably the leader in the clubhouse. Yep. Jesse, what's your pick?
I'm way off the board. Charles McAdoo.
Wow.
Whoa.
Whoa, that is off the board.
Way off the board.
Jesse, you should go place a bet on that in Vegas. That's like probably 500-1 or something.
I actually had Charles McAdoo on the show last year, just after we had acquired him from Pittsburgh. And he was a really interesting cat to chat with. Very, very low key, not very excitable. A guy who really processed the questions that were asked of him, you know, like it was an energy that in comparison to a lot of the ball players on this Blue Jays team was very different. So that is one thing that stood out to me. He is a kid with some pop that really started to show more home runs as the season went on. 22 years old. So it's a bold prediction, Jesse, but I like it. He's obviously going to start the season in probably AAA is my guess. And right. For your prediction to be correct, you better hope it's AAA. and then he has to kill it, right? He has to come out of the gate hot. Listen, if the Jays don't acquire somebody, you know, like if we don't see a Josh Naylor or a Spencer Steer or somebody like that brought in, I think that there is going to be a possibility of it being someone off the board.
Yeah, Addison Barger is my pick if George Springer is still here. If he is not here, I'm going to go Leo Jimenez. Let's just get say something like that. It. Yeah, not fully confident in that one, but that's what I will go with. The next one, very similar, guys. Just give me a name. Who leads the Blue Jays in saves in 2024 or 2025?
Chad Green.
Hagen Danner.
Oh, going off the board with Haggy D. I like it.
As people know, I like my bold takes.
Yeah. Well, Haggy D is an interesting candidate here. I know that good friend on the walk-off, he's been on the show about half a dozen times now, and he really struggled with that injury last year. but came back healthy. He looked really good. In fact, he is a guy who definitely would have been in the bullpen for the Blue Jays last year had it not been for his injuries. And then when he came back, it was so dominant at the end of the year. I think what happened is the Blue Jays only had one more option left, or it was muddy whether or not they'd have that option. Right. So they didn't call him up. Mm-hmm. Kind of saving him for 2025, I think, is they, you know, it was September and they'd kind of written the season off anyways. They're like, okay, well, who cares? We might as well have the ability to yo-yo this guy up and down for one more year. So Hagen Danner is an interesting pick. This is a dude that, for those listening who don't know much about him, he hits triple digits and his slider has become his best pitch, which is just such a good thing for a back end of the bullpen type of guy, is to have that secondary pitch and an elite secondary pitch. Because you know what? Yeah, triple digits is sure nice. And he averages about 98, you know, and can ramp up. But to have an out pitch like his slider, love it. So I'm all in on Haggy D. I think he definitely starts the year with the Blue Jays in the bullpen, especially with the amount of holes in that pen. I don't know how many save opportunities he's going to get, but I like that prediction, man.
Throws 98, has a wipeout slider. Sounds like Jordan Romano to me. And hey, Jordan Romano was a good closer here for quite a while. Jesse, I think I was going to say Jimmy Garcia just to be chalk, but I like that call. I'm going to go with it. I'm going to change my answer. You've talked me into it. All right, guys, two more questions. The first one here, you cannot choose Vladimir Guerrero Jr., okay? Who is the Blue Jays representative at the All-Star game this year? If you cannot choose that. Okay. So Ryan and Foley, bounce back's coming.
Austin, no doubt in my mind. Who? Right.
And who'd you say, Jesse?
Andrés Giménez.
Wow. Andrés Giménez. I like that.
Mm-hmm. It's very Jesse, real possibility for that.
Do you think that Giménez's bat rebounds? I know he had a rough 2024. I'm not saying all the way to 2022, by the way, but do you think there's a happy medium between 2022 and 2024 in that kid? Because he is only 26, right?
Exactly. Like you said, he's the same age as Vlad. Like, I definitely can see it, especially with Popkins and I'm drawing like the other hand coach we got from the Dodgers, which are two of the
I and Eddie.
From system. I feel like they can both really figure something out with them, with coming from two really top hitting teams, and also hearing what Carlos Correa said about Popkins. Like, I feel like they can find something, make it click with him. And Giménez was stated too that he's working on chasing outside of the strike zone. So that's the good step one.
Yep. Alejandro Kirk is my pick, by the way, for the reference. I think he might get in there at catcher. I really like the work that he's putting in and all that stuff from Alejandro Kirk. He's going to get the playing time. I think there is a non-zero chance that happens. And in terms of Andrés Giménez, just quickly, I agree. The Steamer projections have him at a 103 WRC+. He's already talked about wanting to be a better pitch selection. We had Zach from On the Corner, who was from the Cleveland Guardians podcast, come and join us. And he talked about Andrés Giménez. He said a lot of it was just he was swinging early in counts, kind of doing the Ernie Clement thing where you swing very early, you don't draw things, and it led to a lot of weak contact. If he's just one simple switch in plate approach, he thinks the bat can get back up to like a 110 WRC plus. And if that happens combined with his defense, I agree. There is a chance we could see him at the All-Star game. Gentlemen, I just have one more question, and I'm going to list you some names, and I want you to rank them on who is going to be the best in 2025 by WAR. And there's a few names here, so if you don't remember them all, so be it. But maybe just give me your top three, I suppose, out of these names. But these players are Addison Barger, Joey Loperfido, Leo Giménez, Nathan Lucas, Davis Schneider, Will Wagner, Orelvis Martinez, and Jonathan Class A. I realize I just gave you eight names there, but if you guys want to give me your top three on who finishes 1, 2, and 3 in WAR out of those eight players going into next season.
Oh, man.
I got to think about that.
Well, I still believe Addison Barger is going to be traded personally. So despite he would be my first pick, I don't think he is going to be a Blue Jay by the start of this year. So I'm going to go a little bit off book here. I do think that Leo Giménez is going to get more opportunity than most of us think he does. And I think that it's going to come at third base, which is something one of you already kind of stated, was that we could see Leo playing some third. So I'm going to go number one in that is Will Wagner. And I say that because I do think that he is going to get plenty of opportunity to get into the lineup with this organization needing offense so badly. I do think that Wagner is a guy who you can kind of pencil in as a 110 WRC plus. I do think that that is possible out of him. I'm going off board, and I know you gave me the list. I think Alan Rodon is going to make this team. Sure. I think he's going to be a big contributor, and I think he's going to play every day left field, and I think he's going to play 140 games. So to do those two things means he has to be doing it well enough to deserve the spot, which means wins above replacement probably leads the pack there. So I'm going to go Will Wagner, number one, Alan Rodon, number two, Leo Giménez, number three.
All right. Good choices. Jesse, what are yours?
I definitely would say my number one would definitely be Barger, because I really, like I've said before on the show, I'm a Barger's boy, and so I don't want him gone. So, but I understand why he'd probably be shipped because of the tools he has. So it'd be Barger, Class A, and Wagner for me.
I like the Class A's in there. I really like Class A. I just think he's not as close to the bigs as maybe he was touted to be, is all.
Right. The tools are just there, which is what we got to.
Tools are great. But it's like those kids we always talk about, right? He reminds me a lot of like Dalton Pompey or Anthony Elford, or, you know, like those speedsters that it's like their career is made if they can just get on base. Can he get on base? We'll see. Right. So
interesting choices.
I like Barger, Jesse. I really do like him. My thing with him is that if I'm another organization and the Blue Jays are approaching me, Barger's the guy I want. And that's why I think he's most likely to be traded, is that they can fill third base and left field with other guys. So if they can wind up in return for Barger getting a sure thing power bat or maybe like a back end of the bullpen guy, I think they do it.
Interesting point. I actually think Alan Rodon is the one that's going to be traded along with Leo Giménez, just because I think back to when the Blue Jays were talking up Zach Logue a lot, and then we ended up shipping him off to get, I believe it was in the Donaldson trade, right? The Yankees just did that a lot with the Chapman, Durbin guy. With the Durbin guy, they just traded to Milwaukee to get Devin Williams. And I find they bring up these players unprompted. Josh Kasevich is another name. Part of me is like, do they really like this guy, or are they trying to just buff their trade value? And with Leo Giménez, especially, a lot of his OBP coming from getting hit by the pitches a lot. One, we've seen it with Danny Jansen. He just gets hurt a lot. And two, I don't necessarily believe that's a real skill, getting hit by pitches, but it could be. So I think those two are the ones that can be traded. So to answer the questions, I'm going to go Orelvis Martinez. I do think if you can put him up there, put him in there and face a bunch of lefties, I think he's going to be up there as well. I'm with you on Addison Barger. And my last one is actually going to be Nathan Lucas, because I don't want you to forget I know he's older, right? And I know Buck Martinez talked a lot about him. Just he's going to try and out for 30 other teams or whatever and whatnot. But look, Dalton Varsho is on the shelf to begin the year. Nathan Lucas is out of options, I believe. He's going to get a run. John Schneider had a hitting leadoff a lot last year, and Nathan Lucas has done nothing but hit since he's been here. So I think there is a non-zero chance he gets some playing time, he gets a run. Plus, if he plays good defense enough out there, he can do it. No love here, though, for like Joey Loperfido, a Davis Schneider bounce back, or those are the two we didn't mention, didn't get any votes. Anyone have a quick thought on those before we get out of here?
I
personally think he'll be in the AAA, both of them. So like, yeah. That's where I feel like we'll spend a good chunk this year to develop and actually become what we thought they were.
Okay. And then Scott.
I love Davis Schneider. I really do. He's such a great dude, and he's showing us nothing but generosity with his time, coming out to baseball town and being on the podcast numerous times, right? So definitely all the love in the world for the man. I do think he's probably going to wind up starting in AAA unless he can start hitting lefties. If he can start hitting lefties with power, like what we saw out of him when he had his hottest start in Major League Baseball history, right? Then I think there's a spot for him on the team. Otherwise, we can't see a repeat of the Davis Schneider from 2024. He just wasn't good enough, unfortunately.
He might have some of the highest upside with a bat than any of those other players there. So worth noting, I suppose. But we will dive into a lot of this more than as we get going into the offseason. We've already gone 6 minutes past. So, Scott, we've got to let you go. But thank you for joining us on the show. Jesse, glad you were able to make time coming back home and be on the episode here with us here. Scott, is there anything you'd like to shout out, anything you'd like to plug before we get out of here?
Gentlemen, just it's always a pleasure. I always enjoy your guys' company, and thank you so much for making time to have me on the show here. I will plug the walk-off. Obviously, if you haven't heard of the walk-off, we're on YouTube, and we're also wherever you get your podcast. We have guests on constantly that range anywhere from anyone within the minor league system. We've had guys like John Gibbons. We've even had Mark Shapiro on the show. So if you're a Blue Jays fan and have not checked out the walk-off, please do so. And then finally, I run a live show. So I make my living as a stand-up comic, but I run a live baseball show called Baseball Town. And we ran it all summer long in Toronto, planning on doing it again this year. So if you hear a baseball town and you're a Blue Jays fan, make some time. Come check it out. It's a fun little event.
Jesse and I can vouch for both of those. We attended a handful of them last year. Very fun. Would recommend going. A night full of laughs, cold beer, and Blue Jays talk. What's not to love? We would recommend. Also, as Scott echoed, please make sure you follow us, like the video, subscribe to the channel. You can find us anywhere you can find your podcast. 5-star review, all that good stuff. Tell a friend. We're getting into the new year. It'll be very exciting as we ramp up into spring training. We've got a lot more content coming out your way. TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, you name it, we are on it, and we will always talk and interact with you. Jesse, anything else, Dad? Or are you ready to get
it? Couldn't say better. Gotta hop off here and do the dad duty since the little one's home, so that's why I was late, everyone, but always glad to be here.
With that being said, let's go Blue Jays. We will be back probably in one more episode before the end of the new year. If not, we will see you in the new year. Until then, let's go Blue Jays.
Thanks, guys.
Go Jays.